Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He jumps up and breaks down walls. And then she sits him down and she's mad this time. You lied to me. And then she says this, if you love me, you better tell me and stop lying, huh? It's exactly what it says in the Bible, I promise. It says this, how can you say that you love me and yet you have deceived me these last three times? Well, I say it a little differently, but it's exactly the same.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope. There are a lot of great Bible characters whom we can model our lives after. Abraham, David, Daniel, just to name a few. We can learn valuable life lessons by following their examples. But the Bible also tells stories of others from whom we can learn, guys who did life the wrong way. If we will watch their example, we can learn how to avoid the potholes they fell into. Here's Pastor Wayne with the story of one such guy. It's a message entitled, Samson, an unlikely voice on building relationships.
Would you take out your notes as we hear from a very unlikely voice teaching us about how to build relationships. Very unlikely. The person's name, Samson. Samson never got it right with the women. I mean, his whole life. He never got it right. And he would say one thing, and the women would say another, and get himself into trouble. And it's like a reaction, then a revenge, and a retaliation. You ever gotten to those one-upsmanships with people? And it just leads to nowhere fast. Reminds me of this couple that they were fighting in the car, and they just got so mad at each other, they just went silent. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. And so they're driving down the road, and they pass a farm, and the guy looks, and there's a herd of pigs over there. And he looks at his wife and says, some of your relatives? And she looked out there. She said, oh, yes, on my husband's side. You know, you say one thing, and then it just starts to escalate into this all-out war. It's like this young married couple, first spat. They're just fighting right out of the blocks. They're fighting. And he gets so frustrated. And he, I mean, this is a Christian couple, too. They're just so frustrated. He gets really mad, throws down a towel to his pretty young wife. He turns to her and says, I cannot understand how God made you so beautiful and so stupid at the same time. And she turned to him and said, well, let me explain. God made me beautiful so you would marry me. And God made me stupid, so I'd marry you. My. Learning from Samson about building relationships, that's nuts. He's thinking, what would he have to teach us? It's like learning how to skydive from someone that's afraid of heights, or learning how to be a generous giver from someone who is a paque. It doesn't work. Or learning how to be quiet from a Portuguese. It just doesn't happen. I got this great Portuguese joke for you. You got to hear this. There's this Portuguese guy who was reading this article. And he said, Mary, Mary, come here, Mary. So she came in. Yes, Mano. Mary, it says here in this article that the women speak 30,000 words a day compared to the man only speaks 15,000 a day. You know what that says, Mary? You know what that says? You girls talk twice as much as us men. And she said, well, man, well, that's the reason we talk twice as much is because we have to repeat everything we say to you. Mano looks at Mary and says, what? Okay, back to Samson. Samson goes from one relationship to another, and it all begins with his parents, believe it or not. He went down to the Philistine area, which is down in the southern area, sees his girl from Timnah, which is a Philistine babe, and he goes back to his dad, and mom says, hey, I just saw this babe, go get her for me. I guess it's a Jewish thing where you got to pay, dowry. And so they got to pay money for this girl. So he says, go get this girl for me. And his dad says, no, man, isn't there people in our own village you can marry? You're a Jew. She's a Philistine. No, you don't want to do that. You get her for me, he says. And this guy is like the strongest man in the world. God gave him an extraordinary strength. So he's like 9'8", and he's got muscles, a steroid muscle everywhere. He weighs 800 pounds. And so you just don't go against people that are that size. So the dad implodes. Okay, all right, I'll go get her. He goes and pays the money and gets her. Now, things go from bad to worse at that point. And it started with him being upset at his parents, the parents conceding and going and doing what this kid wanted them to do, and everything slides southward from that point on. He gets married. At the wedding, he's a gambler. Samson's a gambler. So they make this bet and with these people, and so he propounds a riddle. Said, if you answer this, I'll give you so much money. If you don't, then you give me. Well, they couldn't figure it out, so they go to his new wife. Hey, tell us what the answer is. So she baits it out of him, tells these guys, because she's a Philistine as well, see? So these Philistine buddies come and tell him what the answer to this riddle is. He gets so mad. He kills a bunch of people and leaves. Well, during his absence, the father-in-law figures, hey, what about my daughter? You just married her. Well, if you don't like her, then he marries her off again to his friend, another Philistine. 6 months later or so, Samson comes back to see his wife. She's remarried to somebody else. He's mad. What did you do? He catches these foxes, puts a torch to the tail of these foxes, and lets them run through the hay fields of this Philistine community and burns up the community. Well, now, Philistines retaliate. See, it's starting to go back and forth. Philistines come out and say, you, Turkey, you are the one that made his wife marry this other guy. Burns the father-in-law and burns the wife. Samson comes back and says, you do that? You going to do that to me? That's it. You watch what I'm going to do. And he goes into an avalanche of rampages and starts killing all of these Philistines. Well, the Philistines have to get back at him. Can you see this retaliation back and forth? The whole story of Samson's life is back and forth of unforgiveness. So they set up this lady named Delilah. Because, you know, Samson's got this weakness for the babes. So he comes and he sees this Delilah. Oh, man, his heart is thumping. And she catches him with her false eyelashes. Sammy. And so she's trying to figure out where he gets his strength, because that's what the Philistines want to know. So she brings him into this bedroom area, and the Philistines are hiding in the closet. Find out his strength. Sammy, how come he's so strong? Well, he makes this thing up because, you see, he's under a vow with God. God says, don't ever cut your hair. It's a Nazarite vow. And if you will, then you'll be my judge. You'll judge Israel, and you'll have extraordinary strength. He can't tell her that. So he says, well, you bind me with these fresh cords like vines, and then I'll lose my strength. So she says, okay, go sleep. And she binds him with these cords. To test him, she says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And pack, he breaks them right off. And then he says, what happened? Oh, nothing. Go back sleep. Come on, tell me for sure. How come you so strong, big boy? And he says, well, okay, all right. It's not cords. It's ropes. You're going to get ropes. Okay, go sleep. And she ties this guy up. And then she tests him again. Samson, the Philistines are on you. Pack, he breaks it again. You lied to me. Okay, all right. If you braid my hair, put it in braids, and I'll lose my strength. Okay, go sleep. And she braids his hair. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He jumps up and breaks down walls. And then she sits him down, and she's mad this time. You lied to me. And then she says this, if you love me, you better tell me and stop lying, huh? It's exactly what it says in the Bible, I promise. It's true. It says this, how can you say that you love me and yet you have deceived me these last three times? Well, I say it a little differently, but it's exactly the same. Well, he relents. Well, it's my hair. I have a vow with God. If you cut my hair, then I lose my strength. Okay. Relax. Poo-poo. He knew. Bzzz, and just shaves him bald. And then she says to the Philistines, he's all yours. They grab him and they gouge out his eyes and they make him a grinder in prison till the day he dies. One final act at the end where he pushes these pillars down and kills a bunch of the Philistines. But basically, he loses his life, his eyes, his marriages, his ministry, his reputation, his soul, everything is gone. And I think, you know what? If there's anybody that has something to say to us, would be someone who lost everything as the price to pay for the lessons he had learned. You see, you're going to have two teachers in life. You're going to have the teacher of wisdom, or you're going to have the teacher of consequences. Now, both of these teachers are phenomenal teachers. You will learn lessons from them both. But the teacher of consequences is a difficult taskmaster. And the teacher of consequences, you learn from her. But she will demand that before you learn the lesson, it just may cost you your finances, your marriage, your family, your ministry, your life, your eyes. And when you suffer those consequences, then I'll give you the lesson. Wisdom, on the other hand, says it opposite. She'll say to you, I'll give you the lesson. And you can decide if you want to suffer the consequences. Now, both of them are great teachers. You'll have to have your heart open more to one than the other. This is by default. But here's the big difference. Consequences says this, I'll give you the lesson, but first I demand that you make the mistake and you suffer the consequences and you experience the pain. When you're done, I'll give you the lesson. But the lesson will not come without these first three. Wisdom, on the other hand, says, no, I'll give you the lesson first. And you can decide if you want to suffer the consequences and experience the pain and bear the suffering. It's up to you. So consequences gives you the pain first and then gives you the lesson. Wisdom says, I'll give you the lesson. You can decide if you want to go through the pain. Well, Samson bore the pain and he is willing to give us the lessons that would summarize his life. He paid a very high tuition for this lesson and he's willing to give it to us. That's pretty good. So we can learn from wisdom. And you know, the neat thing is, you know, the reason why Jesus Christ is called the wisdom of God? Because Jesus himself paid the price of sin so that we could be wiser. So that we wouldn't have to go through all of that and lose everything. So he took the sin of the world upon himself and offers us salvation or wisdom. If we will obey and submit to what he gives to us as wisdom, we could save a lifetime of suffering. And he offers that to us, and he paid the price. Samson has paid a great price, and he is here to teach us today. Now, if Samson were to come into your kid's classroom, this huge, the strongest man in the world, muscles rippling just on his arms like this, right here. No, obviously not, but just massive. Just say he's massive. They have to redo the doorways because he's so big. And they reinforce the chairs when he sits down. And all these kids gather around. What would Samson say about building relationships? It sounds so elementary, but this is what he would say, because he would rewind his life back to where the slide began, and here is what he would say. But first, let's listen to what Delilah says to him right at the top of our notes. Would you read it with me? What happens when his life goes down? Go. Delilah said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes and bound him with bronze chains, and he was a grinder in prison. He paid a high price. He paid for these lessons with everything he had. So if he was going to give us the wisdom of what he has learned, what would he say? He would rewind it all the way to his parents. That's right. And he would say to these kids, wide-eyed and curious, this is what Samson would say. Would you write it in number one? Here's the lessons of his life in building relationships. He would say, children, honor your parents. Fill that in. And then he'd continue and he'd say, and parents, honor God. Don't implode to your kids' wishes and desires from, that are birthed out of immaturity and rebellion, curiosity. Honor your parents. If you're still under the jurisdiction of your parents and you're here at New Hope, can I just say this to you? Please, please, please remember this. For some reason, God has given your parents an ability to sense inherent dangers that are about to take place in their children's lives because of an activity or a relationship or something. They'll, for some reason, say, I don't think this is a good idea. God just gives them a sense of the inherent dangers that are coupled in an activity that they might not even comprehend why they're saying, no, I get a check on that, or that relationship that you're with that boy. I just say no. Now, you can rebel against that. You can reject that, and you can go against them. But I tell you, God says, honor them because I have given them an inherent sense of dangers that nobody can explain. That's just a gift I give to parents. Now, they can block that. They can destroy it. They can put it aside because they don't want to be unpopular. But he says, no, I will give that to parents. And I tell you, if you're under the jurisdiction of your parents, the best thing to do is honor them. Honor them. Honor. Even in the New Testament, we find these words. Read it with me in Ephesians 6. Go. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. What is it? So that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now, I'm not talking about parents because in today's contemporary society, there's some weird ones. There's immoral parents. There's parents that are neurotic or dysfunctional or hateful. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about parents that really love God and love their children and are doing the best they can. Now, they might be, some might be more conservative than others, but still, they, everything that they do is birthed out of, as far as I know, loving their children. And God says, honor them. Now, you might not agree completely with everything, but honor them. Give them, in other words, the benefit of the doubt. Say, but what if they make some mistakes? In my eyes, I think they're making mistakes. God sees that, and God knows that because you're submitting to what he has asked, honor your parents, even if it's not the best, later on, the Bible says God will take all of that and work it together for good. For example, I was raised by an extremely strict father, overly strict, I think. But I chose to not rebel against that. My dad was, he was a master sergeant in the Army, and I think he believed in child abuse because he would discipline us in the patriotic style. He'd lay down stripes until we saw stars. And he had a belt that hung on a hook by my door so that to remind us that if you mess with me, you get this strap. Now, just to show you some of the things that, this is a true story, he was this strict, we had to make our beds every morning with a GI blanket folded over with a sheet tucked in with hospital corners, and it had to be so so tight that he'd actually flip a quarter to make sure it bounced so it'd be nice and tight. And I remember this very clearly. If it wasn't, he would take it and rip the bed open and say, do it again. Now, remember, my stepmom would come in and check the dust on the Venetian blinds of my bedroom to see if it was clean. My shoes had to be polished and in the hallway so my dad could inspect it. And I had to call him, sir. Yes, sir. It was just, that was a military family. Very strict. Every day I was to be home at 4:30. I'd take a bath at 5. Do not go out of the house after you take a bath. Yes, sir. And then you eat dinner, and then you do your chores, wash the dishes, and then you do homework, and you're in bed by 9:30. Every day was like that. No questions asked. You know, even though it was strict, I think, you know what? I don't regret one moment of the way that my dad brought me up. Nope. You could paint it dark. You could be rebellious, and you become a rebellious person. You could have rejected it and become someone that was opinionated or hateful. But I just, you know, people say, is that bad? Well, probably pretty strict, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody else. But for me, I believe that God used some of those disciplines because God knew the calling that he was going to call me into here. And if I would implode here and concede there, I would do the same here. If I'd be a rebel here, I would be a rebel here. And so God used those things to build in me a certain discipline because he knew I needed that. Maybe others may not, but I would because of his calling. And I don't regret any of the way that I was brought up. I mean, I remember one time I took a bath at 5 o'clock and it was still light outside. And I had my pajamas on and my friends were outside playing softball. And they said, "Hey, Wayne, we need a second baseman." And I came to the back screen door. I said, "No way. I already took a bath. Look at my pajamas." And you know what my dad said. And they all knew my dad. "Yeah, but we need a second baseman. We can't play baseball without you. Come on." I said, "I already took a bath. My dad's going to be coming home, man. And if he sees me, I will be roadkill. I'm done. My life is over." Oh, they said, "Why don't you do this? Because it's after 5, your dad knows that you already took a bath. Well, tell you what, leave your pajamas on. Just put your jeans over your pajamas. Put your shirt on. Come out, play second base. We know what your dad's car looks like. When he's coming up the road, you run into the house, take off your jeans. Voila, pajama man." I thought, why didn't I think of that? That's brilliant. So I put on my jeans and I was out there playing baseball, having a great time. What we didn't know was my dad's car was in the shop. He was being brought by a friend home. We didn't recognize it. He came in the house, looked at his watch, saw me outside, my pajamas hanging out. The screen door exploded off the hinges. He's in his uniform, chewing on a cigar, looked at me, "Come here." You ever start crying before you get spanking? In hopes that it will exude mercy from the beast? "Oh, I'm so sorry. Come here." I remember getting that bedroom, getting it, he took that belt. Ah, and then I really started crying. "Ah, I won't ever do it again." "You'll never do this again?" "No, no, I'll never do it again. Never, never." "You sure?" "No, I never will." He said, "Okay, that's why. I'm not going to spank you this time." "What?" "I'm not going to spank you because I know you'll never do that again." It was on that day I understood what mercy was all about. And then, you know, I never went out of the house after that. I took a bath from the rest of my life, man. I'm like, I'm 56 years old now. If I take a bath, I don't leave my house. My wife says, "Go to the grocery store." "No way. I took a bath." My dad died 10 years ago, but I think he may be resurrected and waiting for me somewhere. But you know, if you'll honor your parents, God will use that for good. Honor. That's what Samson would say. He'd say, "I didn't." And that started, my whole life started to slide. Because I rewind back to that. I tell people, and I've talked to my wife about this too, and when I was dating my wife, I watched not how she treated me. You know what I did? I watched how my wife treated her parents. I watched how Anna treated her dad, and of course it was exemplary. She and her dad had a wonderful relationship, and of course with her mom, and they were just best friends. But I watched how she treated me. When you're dating, you're always going to treat everybody, you know, each other like sugar daddies and candy cane and kissy licky. But you watch how they treat their parents. Here it is, guy. If your brother, if you're dating a girl, watch how she treats her dad, whether it's in respect or not. Or she just says, "Forget anyway, whatever." Because if she doesn't treat her dad well, bail out, because it's going to happen with you. If she treats her mom poorly, watch that. Ladies, same thing. Watch how that guy treats his own dad and his own mom. If he does not treat them well, watch what's going to happen with you. Handwriting's on the wall. I would say this. And when the scripture says honor your father and mother, even if it doesn't sound right at the beginning, start with it's got to be right for some reason. I don't understand why, but I know God has a reason to have recorded that in the Bible. Start with it must be right. And start with honoring your parents, because there's a reason. It may just be that which will affect your marriage 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road, your relationship with your spouse. Where do you practice for that stuff? In your home, by the way we treat our parents. Samson paid a high price for the lessons he learned, and he offers them to us today for free. Take it. Take the lessons that he gives us for free. You'll be wiser because of it. And I think that is a great deal. What do you think?
You just heard a message entitled Samson, an Unlikely Voice on Building Relationships by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.